David, you can pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when the question was asked how we should pray, Lord, that you had the perfect answer. You were the Word. You knew exactly how we should pray. You gave it, Lord, you gave it to us in an example, Father God. We thank you for your Word, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity here this morning to come as believers, to come as your church, as your people that you love, Lord God. Father, that every person, every being is welcome in this church, Lord God, and that you want to minister to us, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to change our hearts, our minds. Lord, I pray that you will come and open our eyes, that you will do some unlocking on our hearts, Lord God, that you will do a change this morning and every day, every precious moment that we spend time with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, church. Welcome. It's nice to have you here. A nice and hot Sunday. My father and my mother, they came to visit me on Friday. It's not very often that the family comes from Windhoek to Swakop, and they actually have more warm clothes on than we have. Usually it's totally the other way around. But it seems that we are in for some east weather this year. Last year, I see some people go like this. I like the warm weather. So it's really nice, and it makes me think of summer and all those wonderful things. So welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. I'm going to start off by reading this morning from Matthew 22, verse 34 till 40. Thank you, worship team, for your worship. We appreciate it. If you've got a Bible, you can turn with us. Otherwise, it's there on the board. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Powerful piece of scripture. We spoke quite a lot earlier on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, loving, etc. Now, I think most of us, if we're disciples of Jesus, but if we were to walk with Christ, we would have a long list of questions that we really want to ask him. Lord, who created God? My children, they're now 8 years old and 6 years. So these questions start to come. Father, mom, where do I come from? We read scripture, but who created God? Who was God's father? Who's God's mother? You know, the typical children, 6 to 8 or 10 years children, I guess they will ask their parents, and we have to give them the answers. Now, I'm so privileged this morning to have a panel in church that's going to answer a question or two. Christine, thank you that you're going to come and stand here to my right-hand side. Anthony, he also put up his name on the volunteer list. Anthony, thank you that you're also going to come and stand here. And they're going to help me out a little bit this morning. We will do the ladies first thing. And I'm going to give the sound to you, Christine. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, Christine is a medical doctor. Many in church will know her. So, Christine, I once heard that someone said, you know, if you've got some pain or something, I mean, why go to a doctor? You can just drink a Panado or a Disprin and it will help about for anything. Do you really think there's value going to a doctor and making a proper assessment to give the correct medicine for the correct pain or ailment?
First, try the Panado.
That's what the doctor says. The GP says, so how does it go?
It depends what's wrong, but if it's something that could be serious, it probably would be wise to get a proper diagnosis made before you take the treatment.
Yeah. And it definitely makes a lot of sense going to a specialist, someone knowing how your body functions and to prescribe the correct.
Someone to know something about the problem you've got that field.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Now we're going to hand over to the gentleman, Anthony. Now, Anthony is a chemical engineer. He's one of those guys that love chemistry. You either love it or hate it, I guess. And he's a plant manager there at the desalination plant. Now, that's just a little bit of background on you, Anthony. Anthony, does it make any sense for us to invest money and resources into infrastructure so that we can drink clean water? Can't we just take any water and drink it? Does it really make sense?
You can try, but you might be sick afterwards. No, it definitely makes sense to invest in infrastructure, and especially new technology.
Yeah, and that we can drink clean water. So
certainly, yeah.
Okay, so to summarize, the panel said, drink the Panado first. Secondly, you can try to pray, I guess. But definitely, if there's something, okay, I'll share something personal. Whenever there's something wrong with me, and I tell my wife, I think I must go to the doctor, her first question usually is, how long do you have it? Because I usually try the Panado definitely first, and then hopefully it will go away by Panados and praying. And then if it doesn't, we go to a specialist. We go to someone who know how your body functions, and definitely there's a lot of other medicines except Panado and Dispense that will fix or, you know, attend to specific ailments or pains we have. In Anthony's case, you know, he's a man, he knows about chemistry, he knows about engineering, and he knows about drinking clean water. And his advice was definitely don't just drink any water, preferably drink clean water. And obviously he says it because he knows what he's talking about. Okay, thank you so much. Can we give them a hand? Now, I just wanted to, I guess I can use many of you who are specialists in a certain field. There's teachers and other people knowing a lot about certain areas in life. You will go to a specialist if you really want specialist advice. Now, here we have a question, and people, you know, many times I say to myself, okay, I'm going to read the book of Ephesians, I'm going to read chapter 4, I'm going to read 2 Kings, I'm going to read the book of Revelation, and we start and we do a little bit of background study, and then we just read and run through it. But I really want to encourage us that we do stand still in certain areas of Scripture and say, Lord, what is this about? Open the Scripture to me. Talk to me, minister to me regarding this specific piece of Scripture. Now, I ask them questions that relate to the field that they are studied people and they are experts in. Now, you see, here we see the lawyer, he comes to Jesus and he says to him, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, just stand still there for a moment, just listen to it. Jesus, let's take take a step back. Who's Jesus? Okay? We can read here from John chapter 1. It says, In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, that's Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him, not even one thing was made that has come into being. We read later in John, it says that Jesus and the Father were one. There's so many examples that I can use this morning. So if there were one person to ask the question to, listen, what's the most important thing or things we can find here in Scripture? I guess we need to pay attention to Jesus' answer. I guess we can have an expectation to really take it serious what Jesus said. I just asked two people in church about, let's say, secular subjects to comment on. And as I said, I can ask many of you as well. But here, many times we read past a piece of Scripture and we miss some of the essence, some of the value. So homework for all of us, go and read this part in Scripture once again later in the week and see what you can get out of it. The answer that Jesus, that is the Word, that was there right from the beginning, who's the perfect expert in the law, in everything concerning Scripture, his answer is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. Now, to me, this is the answer that Jesus has. This is exactly, so we better take that very serious, what Jesus says to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your everything. And then he talks about loving yourself. He talks about loving your neighbor. And we're going to come back to that just now. You see, earlier in the week at intercession, I just had a thing in my heart. And I said, I read in a book by Josh McDowell, in one chapter he writes and he says, if Jesus wasn't God, he definitely deserves an Oscar. That would be an Oscar for acting, okay? But you see, Jesus didn't get the Oscar because he wasn't acting. He was the Son of God. To me and to you, 2,000 years later, the power of Christ, all the prophecies that pointed to Christ dying on the cross, being the atonement for our sins, it is just as relevant. It is just as powerful. Jesus wasn't just a good actor. He was a historical figure, someone who lives, someone who died on a cross, someone who was resurrected. And we have this ministry today. We've got a ministry of reconciliation. But you see, Jesus have all the perspective in eternity to answer this lawyer. The lawyer wanted to test Jesus, but obviously he didn't make his calculations very good, because Jesus will always, if I can put it, give you a better answer to than the question that was asked. Now I think for every generation, all of us who ever heard about Jesus Christ, you know, every person will have an opinion about Jesus. I think Jesus was probably, is definitely the most famous person in all of history. But Jesus is also controversial. Not a lot of people, many people, always, you know, don't always like him or accept him or things like that. I want to read a quote to you by Philip Yancey. He said, "It occurs to me that all the contorted theories about Jesus that have been spontaneously generating since the day of his death merely confirm the awesome risk that God took when he stretched himself out on the dissection table, a risk he seems to welcome. Examine me, test me, you decide." Okay? And that is just a point where we can see God isn't afraid to send his Son to us and to think, oh, maybe this experiment won't work or something like that. We can see there's this faith that God has in Jesus Christ, that the reason why he was sent, it will come to pass. Jesus will not get the Oscar. Jesus was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Now, Scripture and the writers who wrote there, they actually give us this opportunity to examine Scripture and to see for ourselves. And I believe every one of us that has come to Jesus Christ, you know, and can say, listen, God really changed my life through the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit and the saving grace of Christ. All of us that can testify and can say that we are a new being bears witness to this fact that Jesus was Christ. Definitely. Okay? So when we read something like this, Augustine, he said, we love the truth when it enlightens us. We hate the truth when it convicts us. Now, I think I've said it before, but sometimes there's parts in Scripture or commandments that I think, I wish I actually didn't, I've never heard that or never read that. Because it's easier to live by a rule, maybe not to know all of it, than when you know it, you know, how to act, how to live as a biblical Christian. And Augustine, I think, is quite clear. I want to read the Amplified Bible's version of Matthew 22, verse 39. It says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings, it depends on that." Okay, that is one of those things that Jesus gives to us. It's an instruction, but definitely challenging. In my own carnal being, in my own person, you know, that is definitely very, very challenging to me, and I believe to all of us. And if we take this part of Scripture and we were to draw a graph, it speaks about loving God with all your heart. It speaks about loving yourself. It speaks about loving your neighbor. And in Matthew 5, Jesus even said we should love our enemies. We should pray for our enemies. So I can ask the question this morning, how easy is it for you today to love God? Okay, maybe you can say, well, I'm still growing in that. Maybe you can say or testify about a solid foundation and a solid relationship that you have with God. Maybe you are one of those people that can say, man, I love myself. I'm the biggest and the greatest and the best. I really don't have a problem with myself. Or maybe you can be a person that is criticizing yourself so much that you really don't like yourself. Then we can talk about our neighbor and we can say, well, the neighbor doesn't always come in a package I like, so it's a bit difficult. I will rather focus on loving God and loving myself. One day when I'm a bit more mature, I will focus on the neighbor. We need to grow in that. And then definitely, loving our enemies is a challenge. If we page through newspapers, etc., we will see of all the pain and the hurt in this world, and many times we'll think, God, can't you just take that person out in a sense? Okay? But Jesus died on a cross that every person might be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus, of God. Okay? Right here in between, I just want to read to us, and I don't want to say a lot about it. I just want it to sink in once again. I want to read to us from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 10. And it's just about love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And people, church, I just think that is such a high standard. Just explaining to us a little bit about love, how God sees love, about living the way of love. And as I said, I believe it speaks so powerfully for itself that we don't have to go and over-explain it. It's there for us. Now, I think the question on all of our minds many times will be, Lord, how does this... I think most Christians will say, loving you, yes, Lord. Loving myself, okay, Lord. But loving others, loving the neighbor. In Afrikaans, it says, my naaste. So if I talk about my naaste or my neighbor, you know, it's two different words. Okay, will that be my father, my mother, my wife, my children? Where do I draw the line? And we see another piece in Scripture that asks that question very clearly. I'm not going to read the whole story to you, the whole sermon. It's from Luke 10, verse 25 to 36. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Samaritan. You can go and read it. I'm just going to read from verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to point him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But listen now to this part. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, and then he basically tells the story of the man traveling on the road. I think most of us know the story quite well. There came robbers, they really hurt him, beat him up. And then there came a priest and a Levite. The people listening to the story will have an expectation would be a person that attend to that person's need, that will help there, that will love there, that will take care. And then culturally speaking, a Samaritan will not be the most obvious person to come and to help that person that has been hurt. But you see, the lawyer asked this question because he typically, like we as humans are sometimes, he wants to ask, Lord, where can I draw the line? My neighbor, the person living next to me, two blocks away, a town away, where do we draw the line regarding who will be my neighbor? If we talk in the Afrikaans service about the ons naaste, I mean, it's the same thing, But who will that be? Will my mother-in-law qualify? My father-in-law, nephews, nieces, cousins? Where do we draw the line? Because it's very comfortable for us if Jesus were just to say, you can love your wife or your husband, your children, and you choose 10 other people to love that is like-minded, lives in the same neighborhood in you, and you know the rest, oh, don't worry, someone will take care of them. But that's not what Jesus said. He said you should love your neighbor as yourself. That is really challenging to me in so many ways. We can't draw those lines and just say, this is my neighbor, or that will not be my neighbor. You want to know who your neighbor is? The course and the journey of life will show you who your neighbor will be. You can get in your car, drive to Windhoek, and something unexpected might happen. You can get a flat tire, someone can come and help you, someone you did not expect to help. At your workplace, that thing goes both ways, okay? Our neighbor can be someone really, someone you don't expect. I shared the story, it came to my mind this morning. I remember I was 20 years old, 22 years old, studying at Stellenbosch, and you know, I gave my life to the Lord. That was a Thursday afternoon. That Friday, or that same Thursday, a friend of mine who was in class with me, he phoned me. Now, me and Flippy, we used to go usually there in Stellenbosch in Franschhoek. We tried to catch trout on Saturday mornings. And I saw his number on the phone, phoning, and I thought, like, Flippy's probably phoning me because he wants to go and catch fish on the Sunday morning. Flippy said to me, Carl, I heard you gave your life to the Lord. I said, yes, I did. He said, it's the best decision you could ever make. Do you know what? I was praying for you for 2 years while we were in class together. I said, what? You were praying for me for 2 years? I never knew about it. You see, he saw me as a neighbor. He saw me not as just a rebellious young person, someone just sitting in class, because I remember he was a kind of a soft-spoken, real gentleman, and I gave him a bit of grief sometimes, I remember, okay? But he said he prayed for me. My spiritual well-being actually mattered to him. That was so precious to me. It was really a revelation that another young man can phone me on a Thursday evening and tell me, congratulations, you did the right thing by giving your life to Christ. And you know what? I just want to tell you, I actually prayed for you. People, when we have things like that happening in our life, we are so humbled many times, okay? You don't know who I'm praying for. I don't know who you are praying for. But you see, it's a battle we constantly fight. Paul talks about, you know, we fight against powers and principalities. But I want to say, when it comes to loving our neighbors, loving our town, I think we have to battle our own flesh many times. We have to fight this fight because our neighbor doesn't always come in the package. That person in need doesn't always come in a package that we want them to come. Many times it comes with a lot of challenges. So I want you to look here at me. Look at me. Everyone who's almost asleep or very tired on a Saturday morning. While you're looking at me, what on stage doesn't fit in the picture? Look at me. Look at me, you're all cheating. Look at me. What on stage doesn't belong there? It's not always there. It doesn't fit in the picture. Yes, Vanner is condemning me. He said, huh? I'm not on the stage. The rugby ball, who said that? Okay. Who of you saw the rugby ball? Okay. Who of you didn't see it? Be honest. Okay. That's fine. That's not a problem. There's a rugby ball. It's been there since about 8:15 this morning. I think more people in the second service saw it. The Afrikaans people were either more honest or didn't see it all. But it was there. It was there all the time. Some of us probably noticed it. I don't know why some of us didn't walk up there and took it away, because it probably doesn't fit on a stage in a church. But you see, people, it was there, and some of us either didn't see it or didn't notice it. Sometimes we look at other people, and I have to translate, I know the Afrikaans better, you know, we look at the splinter in there. Now you have to help me this morning. The splint? splint in their eye, and we don't see this whole big thing in our own eyes. Now, what I want to read you, and there's this beautiful picture that we see in the Old Testament, and I believe it's God opening up there the window, taking the curtains away, about something in the spiritual realm. And then I just want to bring it back to, now there's some rock people now that's thinking rugby now. I can see it in your eyes. Huh? Yes, yes, just put up your hand and repent. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and size him." It was told to him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent the horses and chariots and the great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. The servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. And I believe Scripture says that they were there all the time. The young man just couldn't see them. Then he actually didn't slap him on the face and said, "You silly, why can't you see it?" He prayed that God would open his eyes, that he could see. We see something similar in the New Testament on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus actually walked with the disciples, and only later he was talking to them about Scripture and many things, and only later Scripture said, then their eyes were opened and they could see that it was Jesus. Now you see, the thing is, I think many times when we talk about our neighbor, about people in Swakopmund, in our town, in our nation, it's like the rugby ball. It was there all the time. Some of you noticed it. None of you came and said, "Well, isn't it inappropriate? Shouldn't we remove it?" And some just didn't see it. No offense, that's perfectly fine. Maybe you're sitting at the back and you didn't see it. But you see, sometimes we are looking around us to people God really loves. And it's like the rugby ball. We see it all the time, but our eyes and our hearts aren't always clearly open to say, "Lord, I'm going to do like Flippy did to Carl. I'm going to pray for this person's salvation. Or I'm just going to be a friend in need. I'm just going to reach a hand and love you. I'm just going to come and visit you." Okay, so I believe it's a scary prayer that we have to pray if you are willing and say, "Lord, like in this example with Elijah and the servant, open my heart, open my eyes that I can see around me who is my neighbor." As I said, it's easier if we draw harsh lines and say, "This one is, that one isn't. This one is, that one isn't." But Jesus gave the answer. And as I tried to demonstrate earlier with the panel of specialists I asked, don't feel neglected if I didn't ask you. There's a lot of other specialists in church as well, I believe. Okay? But you see, asking Jesus and listening to his answer, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." And then, you know, love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? We should just open our eyes, ask God to really help us there. I believe that sometimes we need to look at a scripture like Romans 12 verse 2, and we say, "Lord, you need to come and you need to renew my mind. You need to come and first do healing in my heart." Maybe you first need to deal with offense or forgiveness when you come to Christ. Because previously, before we came to Christ, we had a heart of stone. It's not very natural then to just love someone in need. We like to love the people that we like, or, you know, that is similar to us many times. But Jesus gave this answer. Jesus, that's in the most perfect position, Jesus that was the Word, he came and he said, "This is what you need to do." And that means it's something we really need to take to heart. If you battle with it this morning, I believe we can come to Christ and we can say, "Lord, please open my eyes. Please show me." I remember it was about 2009, and me and my wife and my family, we came from South Africa in 2008 for ministry to the church there. And you know, we had a bit of a fight with a few family members. Some really crucified us. They really, a lot of, I'm not going to go into the detail, it doesn't really matter. You know, in my flesh and in my immaturity, I guess, I definitely said a few things wrong. That wasn't so biblical or Christ-like. But I truly believed at that stage I had the moral higher ground. I believe I acted correctly. But the thing is, there was quite a big relational breakdown. And then I remember Pastor Hercules Opperman, he came that year in 2009, he came to Windhoek, he came to preach there, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask him advice, what I should do regarding these people that's in a sense criticizing me, making my life miserable. I really believe I'm right and they are wrong. I guess some of us are in situations like that sometimes. And I shared my heart with Hercules, and I said to him, so, you know, how should I react, or what should I do? Because at that stage, and I say it, I think I was immature, I thought like, well, I'm living in Namibia, you people, you just stay there in South Africa, I don't actually care, you just stay there and I'll stay here and both of us will be happy. Not very biblical, but I guess at that stage it's something I had to deal with. And I explained the story, and Hercules said to me, you know what, Carl, you need to go and fight for that relationship. I said, but Hercules, didn't you listen properly when I gave you the facts? They said this and this and that, and I was just trying to be a good person. No, you need to go and fight for that relationship. Hercules, but must I explain you again? Must I tell you again? You see, and I had to take something home, advice, that I actually didn't want. I thought he's going to tell me, no, my friend, I can see you are definitely, your hands are clean, you are blameless, they are definitely wrong, don't you worry. But he said to me, go and fight for that relationship. You know, and it was something that shaped me so much, I believe as a young pastor or Christian at that stage, where I had to go and say, God, I can't just love them, I can't just forgive them, you have to do something in my heart here. If I have to go and fight for that relationship. Because you can't do that with a fake attitude. You have to do that from a sincere place. And I had to say, God, I'm angry. I believe I've been wronged. And this and this and that. I've got this on emails and in writing. And this man tell me, you should actually forgive and go and win them over. Man, and I fought with that thing. And it bugged me and the Lord didn't let me go. Until I came to a place of saying, Lord, okay, now you got to open my eyes. You got to open my heart. Just as Elijah with this, with the army that was actually for him. You need to show them that I can see them through your eyes. That I can see their value. I've got mistakes. They do have it. And you know what? I can testify today about a relationship not restored partly, but 110 or 150%. That's even better than it's been ever before. I had to go and I had to say, I'm going to go and visit those family members and I'm going to reach out to them and praise God, their hearts were the same to forgive, okay? But you see, it was a place where I had to deal with my own heart. I had to say, Lord, I'm going to repent for my own faults here, my own mistakes, my own immaturity. And Lord, you have to come and help me. You have to come and show them their worth, the way you love them. That I can see it through your eyes. You have to do something supernatural here in my heart. And church, I believe it's a prayer for us this morning that we can say, Lord Jesus, this was your answer, that we love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay? But that we can also say, God, I choose to love my neighbor. Even neighbor, we can say, let's say, Swakopmunder, any person, okay? Any Namibian, that I will love that person. Because the course of life will bring someone to stand or sit before us, and that person can be your neighbor. We can say, I'm going to take a step back. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on the loving my God part. But you see, Jesus' heart were for all people to come to the knowledge of Christ. Okay? That was the Father's heart. It was for every person to be saved. We can't say, this age, male or female, or rich or poor, or this or that, those are the people God are really into. God's heart is for everyone. And I believe, as with that illustration, there will be people around us that we see, but we actually don't see. And I believe if we pray a prayer, Lord, open my heart, open my eyes, that I can see through your eyes, okay? It will start to change us, that we can love others. And that I believe that is something challenging. It's not a just walking out here and say, awesome God, I hear what Jesus said there, and I'll remember the example about the rugby ball or the panel. It's something where we have to go back to our inner room and say, Lord, I honestly can't love neighbors. I honestly can't. But God will start, if we ask Him to help us, by His grace, He will empower us to become lovers of our neighbors. Okay? Whenever I think of things like Awaken or the men's camp, I just see this picture of a table being set. We bring the plates and the forks and the spoons and the glasses and the best silverware. Yesterday I was here at church doing a funeral, and there was all the ladies, or a lot of ladies, working for Awaken, setting the table, preparing the table for where God and the Holy Spirit can come and Jesus Christ can change lives. We're doing that, we're preparing that, okay? But you see, that's going to be a worthless exercise if we don't have the heart for our town and our nation. This is not condemning. I'm ministering to myself as well here, that God will open my eyes, that it will be a prayer. It will be a prayer in our hearts. Sometimes bitterness can bring physical sickness. Unforgiveness can bring sickness. I read that part in 1 Corinthians about love, because I believe it's so beautiful, but it's so challenging. It's so beautiful, but it's so challenging to get it right in our own lives. And it's only by the grace of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can even try to love, whether it's in marriage, in our own families, at the workplace, whatever the case might be. So people, I want to encourage you in this week that when we go home and we do our own quiet time, that we say, Lord, You say in Your word, I should love You. I should love myself. I should love my neighbor. And on furthest on the graph probably, I should even pray for my enemies. I should even love them, because God's heart is for them, to take them from where they are and to start a work in their lives where they can come to Christ as well. And that we can look a bit in the mirror and ask ourselves and say, Lord, You need to open my eyes. You need to open my heart that I can see. Not just see, but really, really see the way that You see. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, we come to You this morning, Lord, and on this hot Sunday morning, Lord God, and thank You that You're in control of the weather, control of everything that's happening around us, Lord God. And Father, we come here this morning, as Augustine has said, Lord, we love the truth. But sometimes the truth can be so challenging to us, Lord God. It can be so uncomfortable to us, Lord God. And Father, this morning, Lord, we look at Scripture. And Father, we look at this question that was asked to Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus, You were in the perfect, perfect position as God eternal, as the Son of God, as Son of Man, to answer this question. Father, You said we should love our neighbor, Lord God. We should love ourselves, Lord God, that we should love our enemies and that we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts. Father, it's not easy, Father. It's not something that we can do in our natural abilities, Lord. Lord, we need to come to Christ, Lord. The heart of stone needs to be removed and replaced by a heart of love. 1 Corinthians 13, heart of love, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for every one of us that battle in this regard, that You will come and do a work in our hearts that we can testify, Lord God. Father, I pray prophetically for Philippians to stand up, for Philips, Lord God, which will, when someone come to Christ, will say, I prayed for you, my friend. I trusted God Almighty that You will bow Your knee and come to Christ, Lord. Father, we see on the road to Emmaus, Lord God, we see here with Elijah and his servant, Lord God, Father, sometimes we're just blind. Lord God, sometimes we see, but we don't see. Lord, I come and pray for us as a church that continually You'll open our eyes to see around us. Father, that we will see and we will react with love, Lord God. That we will pray people into Your kingdom. Father, the work starts with us. Father, many times we want to come and we want to say, but Father, my neighbor is a noisy, messy, challenging, difficult person. And we want to point the finger away. Lord, our prayer this morning is, Father, we know we can't draw lines on who the neighbor will be. Life will come and show us. The Holy Spirit will come and enlighten us about who in our circumstances, in our walk, on our daily walk, who our neighbor will be. Lord, come and minister to us. Come and change our lives and our hearts, Lord God, the way we think, Lord God. We can learn to love even more, Lord God. Father, it will break us in many ways. We will have to die to ourselves. But Father, we want to be obedient to your call here. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone here this morning and you're in church and you don't know what it is to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you. If there's anyone and you sit here and you think like, I'm trying and I've given my best, I'm trying to be a good person, but I'm not sure about this thing about Christ, I would love to pray with you this morning. I believe the table has been set. I believe everywhere and every time that we come together in a small group, in church or as friends, there's an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. So if you are here this morning and you're not sure about your own relationship with Christ, maybe you want to take that first steps but you have never done that, I want to pray with you. Don't leave this morning. Don't leave this morning if you still feel you want or you need prayer. That's a general invitation. If you feel this morning you want to pray a prayer of agreement, whatever the case might be, I'd love to pray with you. Church, have a wonderful Sunday. Be blessed. And I believe Scripture through Jesus is giving the ball into our courts. And he say, are you willing to go and love? Are you willing to pray a prayer and to say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see?